Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from Luke chapter 12, Jesus said to the disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For your life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is our text. Last week, we heard the reading, the gospel reading, about the rich fool from Luke chapter 12. You might remember the rich fool. He's the man who, when he has a good grain crop that comes in, he decides that he needs to build bigger barns and accumulate more and more stuff. He believed that one's life consists in the abundance of one's possessions. The rich fool was a man whose motto was, "He who dies with the most toys wins." And he lived that motto right to the end. He built bigger and bigger barns until God finally says to him, "Fool, the one who dies with the most toys still dies. This night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?" Such a person, we're told, lays up a treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The rich fool is the prime example of someone who is anxious about his life, what he will eat, what he will wear. All his bandwidth is taken up with stuff. Stuff sucks up his mental and emotional energy. Stuff drains his time. Stuff saps his strength. And isn't that exactly how it goes so often with us as well? The more stuff we have, the more burdened we are by anxiety and worry over it. There's one other thing to note about this man as well. You might recall that he's concerned about his crops and his barns, and his goal is to relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But it never mentions once another person. The rich fool is so focused on his things that it's like no one else even exists in his world. Relationships don't mean anything to him, and he certainly can't be bothered to have any relationship with God. He has one commandment only: love your stuff with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But earthly treasures fail. Earthly treasures always fail. You can't take it with you. Our money, our goods, our possessions, what's the end game with them? I know some of you are thinking about that because you know the end is closer than the beginning. And so you're going through your stuff and thinking, who's going to want this? And what are my children or my loved ones going to do with all of these things when I die? We'll say goodbye to them when our last hour comes, if not before. And I promise you this, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, they won't have any advantage when that time comes. And even now, the thief approaches, the moth destroys, things break, rust devours, new paint chips, food spoils, clothing wears out. And if that's where our treasure is, then is it any wonder that our hearts so easily get destroyed and broken and devoured and chipped too? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That can sound like a threat if your treasure is located in things here, and it can sound like a precious promise if your treasure is in the things that are above. The rich fool is the opposite of the men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast. His lamp isn't burning. He doesn't stand at the door waiting. He isn't awake. He's only ready for more grain. You can almost hear him saying, more, more, more. And he knows what to do with that. But he's not ready for the Son of Man to come at an unexpected hour. He has no mind for what we call the eschaton, the last things, like death or the final judgment. In his mind, those things don't even exist. All that exists are his barns. But he gets a rude awakening when God requires his soul. Sinful attachment to the things of this life leaves us unprepared for the life of the world to come. I want to say that again. Sinful attachment to the things of this life leaves us unprepared for the life of the world to come. Jesus teaches a different way, not the way of the rich fool, but you might say the way of the poor man crucified. Not the way of anxiety and worry, but the way of faith. Trust in the Heavenly Father is the watchword of God's kingdom. And when I say that, I know that many of you here say, yes, trust is the way. And you also know that trust is the challenge. We're not good at it. We fail again and again. You can trust God in this moment, and then you wake up tomorrow, and the anxiety and worry are going to be knocking on your door again. But consider for a moment, not the birds or the lilies, but your Lord Jesus Christ. You never find him worrying about food or clothing. His disciples do. They get all bent out of shape, trying to figure out where they're going to get food to feed so many people. And they say at one point to him, will two swords be enough or not? But Jesus doesn't worry about those things. Not even when he's hungry or thirsty. Not even when he's stripped and bleeding. Not even when he has nowhere to lay his head but a cross. Do not be anxious about your life. And Jesus embodies that statement with his whole self, his whole being. He loved life. He loved others. But he wasn't anxious about it. And from the cross, do you remember those words of trust that he prayed? Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. When his soul was required of him, he was ready, and he trusted himself, his body, his life, his disciples and their needs, even his death, into the Father's hands. Of course, it's true that we need food and clothing. Jesus knows that. He never denies it. Jesus doesn't say, you can get by without food and without clothing. They're not nothing. They're something. But he does say that life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And consider the ravens, he says, and look at the lilies. God cares for them. He provides their food. He gives them their clothing. He does that even though they're here today and gone tomorrow, even though they don't have rational souls like we have. He loves the ravens and he loves the lilies. I mean, already, I hate to tell you, it's almost mid-August, and we can see summer passing, and how many of the flowers have already faded, and the lilies are dying, and yet he provided what they needed, and he made them beautiful in their time. And here's the clincher. You're of so much more value than the birds and the flowers. So much more value. You're worth the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And consider this, Jesus didn't die for the ravens, and he didn't die for the lilies, but he did die for you. So yes, we need food and clothing. What we don't need is anxiety and worry. those add nothing to our lives. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Anyone? Just 1 hour added to your life by your worrying or anxiety? I don't see any hands. You know the truth. Clinical studies demonstrate what we already knew, that worry and anxiety makes life more miserable and shorter. So do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, nor be worried about these things, for all the nations of the world seek after these things. The nations of the world are marked by anxiety and worry and stress. I mean, the newspapers are full of those sorts of things every single day. But Jesus here makes a distinction between his people and the nations of the world. We live in the nations, but who are we? We are the people of God, and we are the flock of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that deep down there's a part of you or some of you that's saying, "That's great, Jesus. Don't worry and don't be anxious. Tell me that again and again. That'll help a lot. If only I could turn off the worry. If only I could shut down the anxiety. Easier said than done, buddy. Now I'm just going to worry about the fact that I'm worrying." I'll take a deep breath and listen. Listen to the rest of what he says. Your Father knows, already knows, that you need these things. It's not a mystery to God, nor is it a mystery to us that we need food and clothing. He knows already, and he's got you covered. He knows that you need to eat and drink. He knows that you need to wear clothing. He knows that you need a shelter over your head. And hasn't he provided for us time and again? Looking too far ahead is what makes us anxious. You know, when you begin thinking about next year or next month or next week or tomorrow, that's what makes us anxious. But take a look back. Look at where you've been. And you'll see a pattern of God providing. Yes, some times have been leaner than others. And maybe you're going through one of those lean times right now. But he's taken care of you up until this very day. And he's given you what you need for today. If you have no food today, come see me afterwards, and I will be glad to share. So don't stress over what you don't have. Fight against your anxiety and worry. How do we do that? I'll give you one hint. Fight against anxiety and worry with gratefulness. With gratefulness. I mean, have you ever imagined that Thanksgiving is a weapon and a tool that God has given you? But he has. Write down 10 things for which you're thankful today, and they can be little things. Give thanks for what you do have, and not just for the stuff, but for the people as well. Seek his kingdom, Jesus says, and all these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure, his delight, and his joy to give you what? The kingdom. I find those words to be so freeing. Here we are, and here we've been trying to build up and maintain our little kingdoms, put up our barns and store our grain, and we spend our days fretting and worrying. And Jesus walks over and says, "Hey guys, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The whole kingdom, to give it to you. Here, you can have it," he says, "the whole lot, the Father's good pleasure, the kingdom, and all that I've won, it's yours. Take it." And still we tell ourselves that we've got to worry about tomorrow. I mean, someone's got to worry about tomorrow, right? And if I don't do it, who will? But remember, worry never got anything done anyway. So Jesus says, look, start with this. Start not with your worry, but start with my kingdom. And then the other stuff will fall into place. His kingdom cannot be destroyed. I mean, they tried to destroy the kingdom by taking out the king. And you know what it said over his head when he was nailed to the cross? The king. And you know what happened after he rose from the dead? He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he is seated on the throne. So no one can take it from you. This kingdom cannot break, it cannot rust, and it cannot rot. And yet it comes to you through amazing things, through earthly stuff. How is the kingdom given to you? How about through this stuff? Through the words of the Bible, through the water of holy baptism, through the bread and wine of holy communion, which is his body and his blood. Eat and drink. He says it's here. You need clothing? You've been covered with his righteousness. How about my forgiveness for all your worry and anxiety? With life eternal like a cherry on top. We walk by faith and not by sight. And this life is a journey. It is a journey that often comes with worry and anxiety, but it is a journey that we take knowing that the kingdom belongs to us through Jesus Christ. It is already yours. Not yours to achieve, not yours to accomplish, not yours to gain, but simply yours to have and enjoy. Jesus wasn't concerned with the stuff. He was concerned with you. And that's why he said what he said. That's why he did what he did. That's why he gives what he gives. To set you free from worry and anxiety by bringing you into the Father's kingdom. In his name, amen.